Good morning, all. It's a rather gloomy day. I hope it's going to brighten up a little bit later for our party. Over the last few weeks, as you know, I've been talking about the wind of change that's blowing through the church. And in John's Gospel, in chapter 3 there, Jesus says, "The wind blows where it will. You hear its sound, but you can't tell where it comes from or where it's going. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." And for the Old Testament people, God spoke in the wind, or Ruah is the Hebrew name for it, which means spirit. So for them, the wind was the breath of God, powerful and life-giving. It was God's energy at work in the world. So at the beginning of creation in Genesis, when you read that, it says, you know, the earth was a formless void, and then the breath of God moved over it. Darkness gave way to light, chaos to harmony, and wasteland to cultivated beauty. Later on in that creation story, the Lord took dust and shaped it into the form of a human being, and then breathed into its nostrils the breath of life, so that man took on God's image and likeness. And the breath of God is felt in all the pages of the Bible, carrying men along, shaping their lives, and the events of history as well. Nobody felt its force more strongly than the prophets, who were often asked to preach unpopular messages at great risk to their own lives. They were inspired by the Holy Spirit, they were inspired men, and they were given strength through the indwelling of the Spirit. When we move into the New Testament, the life-giving breath of God continues to affect men in exactly the same way, most notably the apostles on Pentecost Sunday. It was like a divine storm, you know, that sweeps through them, giving courage, the like of which they could never have imagined that they would ever have, and the wisdom to preach. Peter, especially, has his uncertainty and his cowardice, remember, his betrayal of Christ on Good Friday. He has his uncertain cowardice swept away forever as he leads the others down into the marketplace. And like the Old Testament prophets, the apostles become fearless, inspired preachers of God's word. And the Spirit doesn't stop there. The second effect on that memorable day is on their hearers, the people listening to them, whose barriers of prejudice are broken apart. As it said in the reading there, devout men living in Jerusalem from every nation under heaven were able to understand the message of God's love and power, which these poor, unlettered fishermen preached with such great enthusiasm. And we're told that as a result of that preaching, 3,000 of that multinational crowd were converted to Christianity on that day, which is the birthday of the church. So in the beginning, when the Spirit moved over the formless void, there came about as a result of that a colossal variety of creation. And at Pentecost, when the Spirit moved over the crowd, people of all types from everywhere were affected. But again, he didn't stop there. The wind of the Spirit continues to move over the world today and forever. Just as the Holy Spirit rested on individuals, individually imparted tongues of fire, and enable people in different languages to understand the one and same message they all received. So receiving the Holy Spirit doesn't mean that we have to act in the same way, because we're all different. We've all been blessed with different gifts and talents. Each of us has our own private room, our soul, you know, that inner sanctuary that we have there, in which the Holy Spirit comes regularly to visit us, especially in our conscience, you know, when we have to make difficult decisions. But at some stage, we have to take him out with us into a world where most people are interested only in unspiritual things, as it said in the alternative reading today. St. Paul says, people who are interested only in unspiritual things can never be pleasing to God. Unspiritual things can often be disguised by pretending that they're actually for a greater good, such as, you know, Putin's special operation to liberate Mother Russia from Nazism, or Trump's advice to end mass shootings by giving out more guns and training teachers how to use them. But on a lesser scale, just as important though, is unthinking consumerism of things that we don't actually need. In other words, instead of humanity speaking with one voice on the things that please God, it's almost as though we're kind of sleepwalking into building the Tower of Babel, which, as you know, was a monument to self-sufficiency, which, like most monuments, eventually crumbled into dust, like that famous picture, you know, the statue of Saddam Hussein dragged from its plinth, thus becoming, in other words, a monument to empty vanity. I don't know if you've heard of a young boy called Carlo Acutis, a young Italian boy who was actually born and baptized in England but lived in Italy. He is blessed Carlo Acutis now. He's only 15 years of age, so he's on the way to sainthood, you might say rapid sort of sanctity really. But he was, if you haven't heard of him, he was every inch a modern teenager. He was born in 1991. He died of leukemia in 2006. He was every inch a modern teenager, with all the things that teenagers love, but with a great love of the Eucharist, which he called, I really love this, my highway to heaven. What a beautiful description of the Eucharist, isn't it? He was very conscious of the potential harms and dangers of constant internet and social media use. So he limited his gaming and his social media time to just 1 hour a week, so that he would not be disturbed by worldly things, and so would be able to concentrate on the Eucharist. And his mum, who, like his dad, in his early years, weren't actually great practicing Catholics, said after, you know, when they realized that they had a son who was a saint, that Carlo used to say, it's all about balance. If someone spends his or her life following influences, they might only learn about what outfit to wear and completely forget about God. Isn't that wonderful? Such wisdom from one so young, tender years. So, back to Pentecost. The job of the Holy Spirit is really to inspire us to see things for what they really are, to enjoy God's gifts and use them well. Firstly, to realize our own potential, and secondly, to serve the needs of our fellow man for the sake of the common good. So let's pray today then that inspiration for ourselves and our fellow Christians in this vast family of nations which makes up our universal church.